1 Corinthians chapter 13. I trust that as you get more familiar with the Bible, someone mentions a chapter of the Bible, you'll have a thought for what that chapter is about. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of those famous chapters about love. If you want to understand love and have the best description, definition, instruction about love, 1 Corinthians is probably it, though Christ is the best depiction of love. If you really want to understand it practically, we will study Christ. I just remind you all the time, we come to worship the King. We don't necessarily come to learn new things. There's not much new under the sun. In fact, the Bible would suggest there's nothing new under the sun. But we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded so that we stay encouraged in the Lord to do His work. The devil just wants to derail us, distract us in any way possible. I think I'm going to read the entire chapter. I'll probably do that every week that I preach this chapter. I'm assuming it'll take me at least 3 weeks. It might take me longer than that. But let's read the entire chapter, and then I'll really just focus in and hone in on the first three verses primarily. So I do have verse 4 up there. It really should be verse 1 through 3. So here it is. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let me take you to the last verse of chapter 12. And again, I love the chapter verse divisions. I just tell you that they were not inspired of God, just so you know. There's something in my mind so mental. Chapter ends. Next. I like to connect them many times. I want you to look at verse 31. I think there is a connection with chapter 13. And so I think verse 31, if I were going to do a chapter cut, I might have put verse 31 again at the beginning of chapter 13, knowing how we are. Duplicated it. You're adding to the Word of God. No, I'm not. Mine, I actually turn the page, and it makes me forget it even worse. So turning the page, anyway, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. So desire the best gifts. And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way. And that's chapter 13. That the greatest of these is charity. And so I tell you this, that better than the best gifts is that we demonstrate love. Because just in these few verses that we've read, you can have all the gifts that the Scriptures speak of and manifest them and utilize them perfectly. And if you have not love, it's a waste. Chapter 12, remember, is the purpose of gifts within each church of the Lord. Chapter 13 is all about love. Without it, nothing matters. Chapter 14, how and how not to use our gifts. So that's kind of where we're going in 1 Corinthians. We'll have a good time with that. So let me just jump in. And a greatest attribute is charity. That's just verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I again love the distinguishment that is given in the King James Bible. I don't know, haven't checked out all the translations. Most translations just say love. And you miss, you know, because in English we have one word. People use love for lust. People use love for I strongly like. And so we don't really have great differentiation. Language deteriorates, right? I mean, I tell people this, that English is inferior to Greek and Hebrew. How do I know that? Because God gave us the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, and I would say those were the superior languages that God wanted to use to best communicate who he is perfectly, right? So it is, but I love this, charity. Charity, it's that sacrificial giving love. It's the Greek word agape. This is nothing new for you, but I want you to understand that. It's super encouraging for me, though then I love when we get these descriptors that it's long-suffering, it's kind. It really then puts some parameters behind that. But it's a sacrifice. It's a choice that I will give myself to others. And we're going to look at that, right? So, I mean, sacrificial giving, my favorite verse, John 3:16, same word there, for God so agape'd the world that he gave. You see, when we have that kind of love, we will give of ourselves the greatest treasures. The greatest treasure that the Father could ever give was his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has demonstrated this. And so we must understand that love is sacrificing ourselves for others. Love is sacrificing ourselves for others. Second thing I want you to understand, it's giving into the will of the Father. And maybe that's not the right wording because it may sound negative when I say giving in. Maybe submitting might have been a better word. Submitting to the will of the Father. And just one example, we talked this recently. Luke 22, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was withdrawn from them, from the three, Peter, James, and John, from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. It's interesting. I included that last verse because Jesus, again, you've heard me say it enough, his number one focus was to do the will of the Father. And clearly the will of the Father was that Jesus would sacrifice himself, die, be buried, and rise again. Jesus came to seek and save that was lost. Jesus came to establish his first church. I think the primary number one thing is Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And Jesus measured everything about the will of the Father. And so I tell you this, that agape love is we must get beyond ourselves. We must think beyond ourselves. And it is with no return guaranteed. You see, when the Bible tells us, and we're going to look at this in just a second, that all the people that we are to love, it's because that will represent the Father the best. And so it's not my will, but thine. As John said, he must increase and I must decrease. And so, you know, Alberto and I talk about this a lot. It's a mindset. And so when I say you need to die to self, and Alberto goes, I don't want to die. And I said, not literally, my friend. And I love this, and he'll listen to this later. I said, it's not literal. Sometimes Deb's there when I'm listening to his audio messages, and I love him. He's just straightforward and honest. But it's a mindset. You see, it's a mindset. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a mindset, right? The whole mindset that we die to self is a mindset. And yes, there are some that must physically give of themselves, and they will lay their lives down for the honor of Christ, but that is not the norm. It will become more normative as the decades or centuries as Christ and his return come closer. But it's not the norm. But we must have the mentality to die to self. We must have the mentality that says, not my will, but thine. We must examine that. We must examine, how does my life match the scriptures? We want to have that charity. We want to have that agape love. It's going to involve sacrifice. Jesus went through agony. Jesus went through pain in order that you and I might be with him. And so I'll just read this because I don't have this in my notes, but I'll just read Hebrews chapter 12, right? It's just the mentality. It says, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, you know this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is Jesus, you see, it, again, we talked this a little bit last Sunday night, how that in John 14, wasn't this, it was, I think I taught you recently, John 14, the three things he had the apostles look at, maybe I didn't. The three things he, you know, after he dropped three bombs in John 13, one of you is going to betray me, I'm leaving, you can't come with me, and Peter's going to deny me three times before the morning. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled. He just said three things. You believe in God, believe also in me. Get your eyes on Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I want you to know this. And if it were not so, I'd have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. Think of the glory and the bliss of heaven. Jesus tells us that. So that we might be able to endure this sacrifice. And sometimes to do the will of the Father is sacrifice. It's against what my flesh would want to do. It's against what even maybe Steve, the new Steve, because I don't think like God enough. You see, I just need to know what God says, what he wants, and I just need to do it, and then I need to enjoy it, right? Otherwise, you'll be miserable all life if you're always just like enduring. But there's going to be those times where we endure, where we sacrifice because it's the will of the Father, right? That's this charity, this sacrificial love. Then I said, doing good to others. And so I have a longer passage here. It's Luke chapter 6. So doing good to others is so broad, and really where it really just comes to a head is this. Doing good unto others that you wish weren't here. Right? Our enemies. Right? And that is just, it's so contrary to us. That gives us a taste of what is this love that God's talking about. It's sacrificial giving love, and that greatest picture of that is Jesus, what he did on the cross. And it's this love for our enemies. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, let him have it. No. I know. I guess just shut up, Steve. Okay. There is a point of self-defense. But again, the Bible would say this. If you can avoid smiting someone, you should. You know why many times we smite people? Trying to look like Clint Eastwood. That was supposed to be the whistle, you know, when Clint Eastwood walks up. But it is, and so I want to tell you this. It's not wrong for a man to run. Now, if you run and your family's in between you, you're a coward. You need to stand up for your family. But here's the point, the scriptures. Just because someone hits you, you may have the right to hit them back in our legal system today. Avoid it at all costs for the sake of Christ. If you have to protect your family, you protect your family. I'm not suggesting that, right? But I'm saying if you can, protect your family. And not be a brawler, not be a smiter, not be someone that hits someone, then we ought to do that. That is love. I used to say this all the time. You've heard me say it. Maybe it's been a long time. If someone, I used to say this because it sounded so good. If someone breaks in my house, one of us is going to be dead, me or them. Sounds so manly, you know, until I'm running like a, I was going to say I'm running like a schoolgirl out of the house, but it's okay, schoolgirls. You're not meant to defend, but it is, but I said this, if I can protect my family, there's no way I should kill that intruder if I can avoid it, because that's love. I know. That's Christianity. And I'm not saying that if we had somebody in here and they had a gun, some conceal and carry, you know, boom, you take them out, you know, yeah, fine. But we ought not to celebrate the death of an intruder, right? We ought to just, Christianity is so different. Yes, protect your loved ones. Yes, protect them, but love doesn't mean you won't protect them. But anyway, So he says, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. You see, all this is under the heading of love. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. We're here to be taken advantage of. Boy, that's no fun. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? What, you know, who doesn't love those that love them? For sinners also love those that love them. Don't tell me sinners can't love. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? You just, for sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. That's just, I love that. And why would that last statement be there? Because he's reminding us, be like your heavenly Father. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil, right? But for the grace of God, we would be unthankful. We would be evil. And in fact, many times we are unthankful. Many times we are evil. And so I tell you, I'll go back real quick. Those are just three thoughts as we go in. And then we're going to get a lot of flesh, a lot of meat with this sacrificial giving love. But it's submission to the Father. It's doing good to others, particularly those that don't like you and you don't like them. We need to love everybody, right? And so it's then love is more important than, I'm going to first say this, physical attributes. Look at verse 1. And so I'm going to just say gifted speech. But I love just stepping back and trying to think of this. So I've categorized verses 1, 2, and 3. Physical attributes, physical abilities, spiritual abilities, and then physical and spiritual acts. So physical abilities. Look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is, if we have some physical gift, and so this, it would be speech, this would be oration, this would be the ability to speak and people be in awe of your speech. He says, if I am the most gifted speaker and I have the tongues of angels. So you imagine this. Angels would be like perfect speech. Wouldn't have a, I almost say, wouldn't have a southern drawl. Nothing's wrong with the southern drawl. But you can tell. Anyway, gifted speech, so the tongues of angels. And so I tell you this, whatever physical abilities we have, if we don't have love, it's a wasted ability. It's a wasted gift that God has given us. That's intimidating. That's intimidating that says this ought to be such a focus. And you understand that's why Jesus summed up everything and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It's all about love because as it says in 1 John 4, God is love. I think I said this recently, we were going to name our church Greater Love Baptist Church. I actually bought the website. And then because greater love hath no man than this, right? That's what the point was. But I thought, oh, I realized I came to my senses. And I thought, oh, everybody's going to think, oh, you think you love better than us? Probably with that question, but go ahead. But I just realized that would be kind of a dumb name. But I wanted a name. No wonder the website was available too. You know, greaterlovebaptist.org, right? It's probably still available today. But it is... I want us to be focused on love, right? I mean, you'll see that. Our passion needs to be Christ, holiness, and love. It'll probably be my fifth tenet of a kind of church is that you want to find a church that isn't full of holier than now, full of Pharisees, but a church that values holiness. A church that says, we want to do what's right. And when we wrong someone, we ought to go and say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, right? Remember that person that I said I was a little bit too harsh with on Friday? I was able to apologize to him today. I'm thankful for that. God was kind to me. He gave me. That was a gift of God that said, hey, you can make things right. And so I'm thankful for it. Physical abilities, whatever physical abilities. It could be star athletes, right? When they use them and don't have love, wasted ability. Wasted ability. The love that the Bible describes. See, we must understand this. This is the battle of the ages. Everybody wants to tell us what love is. Love, God gets to tell us what love is. Love is obeying Jesus Christ. Love is honoring God. Love is doing what he says and him being our focus. And that's the greatest demonstration of love, that we send it to God. He's the one that matters. Second thing, it's spiritual abilities. First, you know, I think the tongues of men, so that's kind of the body. Second, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So we talk these just real quickly. Oh, excuse me. It's this, you know, the gift of prophecy, again, that's, it could be the gift of preaching, but I think in this context, in this chapter, even when we get to verse 8, it's talking about the ability to foretell the future, right? It's so fascinating to me. All the tongues people, you know, tell me the future. You got tongues, man. Where's all the prophesiers? Because if tongues have seats, then tell me the future. Where's all the prophetic, you know, and because all the other guys, they've always been proven wrong, right? So it's like this, you can't prove tongues. I just read up a little bit because I wanted to see where this prayer tongues comes from. It is so nuts. They are taking a verse in 1 Corinthians 14 that says, this would be not good. And they say, you should be, you know, you can have the gift of tongues in your prayer closet and be praying things and not knowing what you're saying to God. It's like, I'd like, did you read before and after? And they'll then link it to where the Holy Spirit will utter things that we can't understand. Yeah, that's not you uttering things you can't understand. The Holy Spirit is, that's a blessing. And so it is the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries. Wouldn't that be wonderful that we would understand all things? We don't. We understand less than we probably know. Having all faith, right? Faith is the victory. We see that in 1 John chapter 3. Faith is the victory. Having all faith to where we can remove mountains. We can't please God without faith. But if we have all faith, which is, you cannot please God without faith, but I have all faith, and I have not charity, I am nothing. So we could have great physical abilities. We could have great spiritual abilities. Those are all blessings of God. They're all gifts of God, and we ought to use them for His glory. But just imagine this. This is a killer, right? And so it's when we might have some, whether it's physical ability or spiritual ability, and then we don't represent Christ. It's one of the most popular things today is to people to find Christians and then run them down the road. You know, here's just a little advice. Don't run Christians down the road. I will highlight false churches that preach a false gospel. But look, I pray I don't pick on people that are going to preach the true gospel. There may be things I disagree with, but if they preach the true gospel, I'll let it be. I just tell you, we got to be careful. Got to be careful. Let God do that. But if we had everything, gifts of prophecy, understanding all mysteries, having all faith, those are great things. Those are wonderful things. Those we ought to desire that we could speak well for the Lord, right? But if we don't have charity, we don't have that sacrificial giving love, what does it say? I am nothing. Number three, physical spiritual acts. He says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That's what Jesus told the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. Go, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come, take up your cross and follow me. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so we could give everything. We could be a martyr. These are shocking things. I'm going to suggest there have been people that have died for the cause of Christ. The Bible didn't say that they're not Christians. See, we can get so focused on the work, so focused on the cause, so focused on truth. None of those are wrong, but at the cost of love. That's what we have to be super careful of. And I know you're like, well, I know this. There's a big old fat mirror looking me right in the face, this entire message. And I love these messages. I'm reminded of what matters. I'm reminded. I'm telling you this. I love this. You can teach an old dog new tricks. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's that big. And so I can be a different person. I love this. Be shocked, you know. So you guys, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you can't see that your kids are, you know, even growing or doing anything, right? You need somebody from the outside. So I was encouraged with this. My sister, my oldest sister, she said this. She goes, you have changed. And I'm like, I was encouraged because I don't see it. And she says, oh, no, you think I'm rough now? I used to be rougher. And but I'm not done. I'm encouraged. I want her to see it, not for my glory. And I was able to. I said, you know, if there's any change in me, I said, you do know what truth is. I said, it's only because of Jesus Christ. I said, you know this. He has to be really amazing to even move me, because I am a hard-headed, what would be the Bible word? It would be, I'm steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? And so it is, because stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry or iniquity. Stubbornness is a sin of idolatry. Is it, you know, I always mess that up. It's in 1 Samuel 16. Don't look it up right now. But I will tell you, we need to have love, right? We need to have love. And just, you know, you guys can step back and just answer this question. Where are you sacrificing for the cause of Christ? Just take a note. Where are we sacrificing for the cause of Christ? I'm going to finish with three things important to everyone. Three things important to everyone that I think came out in verses 1, 2, and 3 that I like. It's this: we want to be heard. And so I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is not wrong to want to be heard, but at the expense of love, that's the problem. Right? So he deals with this desire. I want to be heard. Second, we want to make a difference. And look, he says, if you have all these spiritual things and you have not love, you are nothing. We want to make a difference. Not that we want to be someone, but we want to make a difference. And if we don't have love, we are nothing. And then third, I like this, we want to be blessed. Look at this in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We want to be blessed. And the Bible says, you can make all these sacrifices, and if you have not this charity, if you have not this sacrificial giving love, then it profits you nothing. Here's the key to life. The key to life is love. We start there, but the key to life is loving Christ. Understand this, true saving faith. I don't put this as a requirement, but I think true saving faith is loving faith. I'm not putting that as a requirement. Do you love Jesus? How can you trust somebody for eternal life that you don't love? You see, I want to show, describe the gospel that people would go, whoa, what a God that would love me so much. How can I not love him? And so I'm going to close with that, letting you guys out here a little early tonight, but it's this. It is the key to life. Don't forget this. We're going to spend a couple more weeks on this, is love. You help me. You help me. You know, you can give me feedback. You can say, hey, I don't think this is very loving. And I pray. I'll say, okay, I need to do better. Because I don't want to get at the end of my race, and because I'm a doer. I'm more of a doer. But I can do. And if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you.